Five.
Real Quiet is a bit leg weary. Victory Gallop is trying. Here's the line. Real Quiet wins the 124th running of the Kentucky Derby.
Four.
And it is all Barbaro. It is a blind performance. He runs away from them all.
Three.
American Barrel and Victor Espinosa have won the Kentucky Derby.
Two.
And here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slough in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it.
One.
He's just awesome. Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
Welcome to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, presented by Hillendale Farm. Now, live from our Red Brand broadcast tent at Churchill Downs, here's host Mike Penna.
Four days, 10 hours, 48 minutes, and 55 seconds away from the Run for the Roses right here at Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. That comes your way on Saturday. Welcome Derby Countdown Show, presented by Hillendale Farm here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Baron of the Backstretch, Jude Feld, Pontiff of the Pick Four, track announcer Bobby Newman, our producer Sean C. We are all trackside on the backside here this morning, and happy to have you with us as we kick off Derby Week, Derby 145, coming up Saturday afternoon, right around 6:50 Eastern Time, and looking forward to that. We're going to do the best we can to get you ready for it over the course of the next three mornings, live from our Red Brand tent here on the backside of Churchill Downs. JT, happy Derby Week.
Yeah, same to you. It's fantastic. We don't really need the countdown anymore because Derby is here. Let's face it back. I mean, if you don't know what's happening Saturday, then you've been living under a rock.
Yeah, it's going to be spectacular. You have the Oaks taking place here on Friday. Yesterday, entries were taken for that race. 14 three-year-old fillies, two also eligibles, entered there. Bobby will see the post position draw for the Kentucky Derby later this afternoon. 20 horses scheduled to go on Saturday. They'll figure out where they're going to break from right about 11:15 this morning.
And that's probably the only nervous thing left for these horsemen. They've done all they can do with their Derby runners. The heavy lifting is done. Now it's just getting where you want to be or avoiding where you don't want to be in the starting gate in that gigantic 20-horse field come Saturday.
There are some horses still arriving here to Churchill. Many of them are on the track. Or at least they have been on the track here for the past couple of days. But there are some still yet to arrive, including Vekoma, the winner of the Bluegrass Stakes at Keeneland, and Maximum Security, who scored in the Florida Derby down at Gulfstream Park about 6 weeks ago, Jude. And I guess nowadays the theory was always that you had to get here early. You had to have some training over the track. Trainers doing things a little bit different these days.
Yeah, the game has changed quite a bit, and a lot of trainers have decided to keep their horses at home, do their final preparations, and then shift to Churchill, which is a good idea. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think you need a workout over the racetrack or the turf course at a specific track in order to do well. It's been proven time and time again you can ship in and win.
Of the 20 horses that are set to find their spot in the starting gate later today, there will be a couple of also eligibles as well. Bobby, the last horse in kind of sounds like an NCAA tournament, doesn't it? The last horse to get into the field set to be a spinoff, one of two from trainer Todd Pletcher. The first horse out is the maiden, Bodie Express. They both have 40 points, but because of the earnings and the tiebreaker going to spinoff, he will be the one that gets in later this morning.
Right, and it's interesting because if you look at past performances, Spinoff is a horse that has a chance. He's going to be overlooked, and he's not getting a lot of publicity because not everyone knew that he was going to make the race, but yep. This is a horse with a lot of ability, a lot of potential, and probably going to be completely overlooked as far as the gambling goes.
Also going to get our first look at the Japanese mystery horse, Master Fencer, who arrived at Churchill yesterday. Julien Leperu set to be aboard this morning as he went to the racetrack. And the Oaks and Derby horses were on the track at 7:30 Eastern time. So just about 35 minutes ago, Jude, myself, and Bobby were trackside. It's a fast main track for training this morning. We do have some cloud cover, but it's supposed to be a beautiful afternoon as we move through the day here in Louisville. And let's take you trackside to earlier this morning, 7:30, when the Oaks and Derby horses made their way out. All right, boys, here we go. The yellow saddle towels of the Derby contenders, the pink saddle towels of the ladies competing in the Kentucky Oaks on Friday. The Oaks and Derby horses on the track for morning training. Several horses already here, including Win, 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 JT, who makes a striking appearance yet again.
Yeah, he's jogging the wrong way. He's got bell boots on, so chances are that's all he's going to be doing today is jogging. Looks great in the flesh. He's been training super all week long. Omaha Beach was the first horse on the track, and he looked fantastic. Backed up to the 7/8 pole, turned around, started a nice gallop, cruised all the way down the backside, and now he's behind the tents somewhere. So we'll pick him up as he comes out of that big mess of tents.
Just about a minute and a half ago, Roadster, one of the three contenders for Bob Baffert, made his way from the gap onto the track. And when he came onto the track, Jude, he was a bit of a handful. He kind of burst onto the scene here, and he said, okay, I'm here. Let's do this.
Yeah, he's looking really fit and been improving every day. He seems to get over this track a lot better than he did Santa Anita, so I have to stay optimistic on him.
Hi, Kyle, over to left, getting a look at him for the first time here this morning for trainer Kieran McLaughlin. What can you tell us about him?
Well, he looks good. He's going to back up now and jog off the wrong way. Looks fine. I would imagine he's going to do some galloping today, so we'll see what he looks like when he turns around. But in good flesh and nice coat.
Bobby, this is your first time standing by the rail for the Oaks and Derby horses in this 15 minutes of fury, if you want to look at it like that. What do you think?
Really a part of the game that most people don't get to see. It's really a privilege being here. It's so much different than just showing up in the afternoon where you're handicapping, maybe trying to cash a ticket here or there. This is really the backbone of the sport, and it's really an exciting thing to see. I mean, these are horses. Somebody maybe on this track right now is going to be the Kentucky Oaks winner. Somebody's going to be the Kentucky Derby winner. And right now they're all just kind of out here stretching their legs. Most of the heavy lifting is done, and just trying to stay fit and ready for their big event in the next few days.
Motion to Motion, one of the Oaks contenders walking by us here from our right to left. She's moving toward the top of the back stretch. Jude, two Oaks fillies coming by. Who are they? Lady Apple?
Lady Apple, who continues to train good, and Jaywalk, who really seems to have picked it up in the last couple of weeks.
She's going to have to, isn't she?
Yeah, she's going to have to, but I think she's capable of it. I don't think she was fit for her first race, second race. She's getting there, and now she's probably at third off a layoff, maybe at the top of her game.
Street Band flashing by, another Oaks contender who will be ridden by Sophie Doyle on Friday afternoon, winner of the Fairgrounds Oaks, and exercise rider just kind of had his legs draped over the side, sitting very high on Street Band as she came by.
Yeah, she looked good. Pluska Parfait coming by, and he looks good. He's galloping right out this morning.
Getting our first look at the Japanese horse, Master Fencer, who arrived here yesterday. He has on pink blinkers and looks like earmuffs too, JT.
Yeah, typical Japanese style. War of Will still continues to pull in the morning. He needs to settle down a little bit.
Bobby Roadster flashed by us just a minute ago, too. I said when he came onto the track, he just kind of burst onto the track and let everybody know that he was here, but he's really calmed down as he just kind of gallops around.
Yeah, especially right behind War of Will, that complete difference as far as the eagerness and just the professionalism right there. Roadster, all business and just galloping along very, very easily.
Here's Bellafina. She's the favorite for the Oaks, and she's just cruising, little leg stretcher this morning.
What do you hope to see, Jude, at this point here? We're sitting here on Tuesday before the Derby, and of course still a couple of days away from that Kentucky Oaks on Friday too. What are you looking for when you watch these horses train?
I like to see bright eye. I want them to really be enjoying themselves out there. If you saw Omaha Beach gallop yesterday with the draw reins, he just looked sensational. I mean, that's what you want, controlled excitement, so to speak. You want them to be on their toes and interested, but you don't want them to overdo.
You talked about War of Will being a bit keen. He was like that when we saw him here on Saturday morning, too, the last time you and I stood here at this rail. not a good thing, or is it something he can work through?
I don't think it's a good thing. He hasn't run in 6 weeks. He's anxious to do something, and he's not able to do it. So, you know, it's a fine line. Improbable looking really sharp this morning. Flying lead change looked good.
That was cool.
Yeah.
It was a flying lead change is what we're calling that.
that's
it was kind of like a little skip, yeah. Right?
Judge gave him a 9.5.
He knew exactly where the crowd was, and he was playing to the judges.
Those four bandages, too, the blue bandages or wraps of Bob Baffert. Who was that? I didn't get
Puska Parfait.
Was that Puska Parfait?
Yeah.
What do you make of Puska Parfait as you watch him gallop?
He looks like maybe he's not in the best of coat right now. There's War of Will. He settled down a little bit, so he just needs to relax a little bit more, I think.
Horse that figures to be coming from off the pace in the Kentucky Derby.
It's a strange Derby with the pace scenario because a lot of them have the exact same running style. There's Roadster once again, where they look like they want to come from 3, 4, 5 lengths back, and really somebody's going to be closer than they want to be. Somebody's going to be further back, but. Jude, is this a point where the trainers are just saying, look, we've done everything we can. We just want to get into the starting gate and know that we've done everything possible to give them the best chance on Friday or Saturday?
Yeah, you're not going to change anything. It's like trying to coach on game day. You know, you've done what you can do now, and you just try to make little subtle adjustments if you can to get the horse exactly where you want him.
It is officially tax time. As tax breezes by us here, of course, this segment all brought to you by our friends over in Lexington at Dean Dorton CPAs. Make sure you check them out. And tax sponsored by Dean Dorton. He flashes by. Here comes Hykel again, Kieran McLaughlin trainee.
Yeah, he looks like he's getting a little tired there at the end of his gallop. He might have done a little bit extra today, maybe 2-minute lick. Omaha Beach, once again, fantastic.
What do you like about him? Yeah,
everything. I mean, if you were going to draw up a horse coming into the race in great shape, it would be Omaha Beach. There's Lady Apple again. She seems to keep haunting us. We see
I need
her,
to bet her
a gazillion times. She has a good chance. I think she's got a shot. No.
All right, coming from our left to right around the clubhouse turn, moving on to the backstretch now. Another Oaks contender. She comes in front of us. That is
out for a spin.
There you
Dallas
go.
Stewart's horse, and Dallas is kind of high on her. I mean, I realize she paid $106 last time, but she's got a lot of ability. Dallas emboldened by her race.
He never does any good with long shots.
No. That's what was so aggravating when he won that race. You just go, how do I pass that up?
Those weren't quite the words I used when that result came through.
Well, Dallas doesn't owe me any money, I can tell you that much. That's a guy that's been good over the years.
So are we at a point now where you just don't want to see anything negative in these gallops?
Yes.
Speaking of that, there's Serengeti Empress, a negative outing last time where she was kind of eased, she bled. Everything is back on track. She's training tremendously well. What'd you make of her when she came back?
Yeah, she looked good. She seems to be nice and relaxed. Here's Tax again, and he's really been a fantastic claim for $50,000, and now he's running in the Derby. Had three fantastic races in a row for Danny Gargan.
Here's the Japanese horse, Master Fencer. Julian Leperu is aboard this morning for his gallop.
Those are some spiffy blinkers with the red and white striped earmuffs, and Julian's wearing some kind of, looks like a Japanese-style jacket with
kimono.
With dime. It's not a kimono.
There's the flowing robes.
Unbelievable.
Bellafina just looked great just walking by us right there.
Win-win-win going back.
Win-win-win has to be – he's one of the prettiest horses in this year's field, if not the most beautiful, isn't he?
You know what I love about him is both of his grandsires won the Kentucky Derby, and nobody seems to be mentioning that but me. I don't know why.
Good point. Great pedigree. Signalman coming by.
Yeah, he looks good. Unfortunately, he's probably not going to get in.
Country House
galloping with his head up a little bit. Not overly relaxed, but checking out things.
Pretty chestnut, too, those four white bandages.
And speaking of not getting in, Dunbar Road walked by a little earlier. I know both of you a little not upset, but wished that she would get into the Oaks field.
Yeah, she's such a nice filly and has a lot of blue sky ahead of her. And unfortunately, she's probably not going to make the race, but she looked great training this morning.
So where does a filly like Dunbar Road go now if she doesn't get into the Oaks field?
Well, I guess you got the Black-Eyed Susan day before the Preakness, if you want to do that. And I'm sure there's plenty of races for her. Chad's not going to rush her, that's for sure.
Motion to motion, the jockey not even asking her to do anything here. The exercise rider just sitting high, hands really, really low on her neck, and just kind of going along easy.
Yeah, just nice and smooth. Keep her in the same place.
Again, this is the time reserved only for the Oaks and Derby horses. It's a 15 or 20-minute training period here. Begins 7:30 a.m. each day. We're going to bring it your way live here on the program. Actually, you're listening to it on tape delay as we hit the air at 8 o'clock Eastern. But this segment brought to you by Dean Dorton, CPAs over in Lexington, Kentucky. And a cool story surrounding Tax, who is sponsored by Dean Dorton. You're going to hear that on this very same program coming up Thursday morning. So make sure you're tuned in every day and you don't miss that one. Hi, Kyle, coming from our right to left, moving past us now. He's done with his work. He's getting ready to head off the racetrack. And you got a chance to see him come by, Jude. And everything was fine with Hi, Kyle, this morning.
Yeah, he galloped right along, and he's jogging back good. Bill Mott was kind of funny. If you have ever seen the performance by Beth Hart at the Kennedy Center Awards when she sang I'd Rather Go Blind with Jeff Beck on guitar, she gives a blow at the end of the song because she's so relieved to be done with it. Bill Mott's on his pony. He's coming back. He's watching his horses go, and then he gives a big blow, and it just reminded me of that.
Tacitus just came by, Gray, son of Tappet. You get a look at him as he flashed by?
Yeah. He seems a little lean to me. He's definitely fit. But he doesn't really give you the robustness you would expect from him.
Country House right behind him, so that's why Bill Mott's still out here. And I think those are the final two, although we have another one coming around the turn right now. But most of the heavy lifting done, and most of the Derby horses look like they've gotten their morning fun out of the way.
Yeah, we got the commoners coming on the track now.
The non-Oaks and Derby horses.
Non-Oaks and Derby.
Yeah, they might be competing in like the grade one Humana distaff or something, but we'll call them commoners for now. This week they're referred to as commoners.
Yeah, no flashy gold or pink saddle towels. So.
Yeah, one more coming by, as Bobby mentioned.
Leora, who won a big race here, paid a pot full, and I gave her out on the radio, so I'm quite proud of Leora.
Well done. Well done. All right, well, that's going to wrap it up this morning for this training segment. Again, brought to you by Dean Dorton. And we're back tomorrow with more Tax Time here on HRN. Stay with us on the Derby Countdown. And that morning training report brought to you by Dean Dorton, CPAs in Lexington, Kentucky. Make sure you give them a call. We're back with more. Stay with us. This is the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farm on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Good Magic, the champion son of champion sire Curlin, standing at Hillendale.
Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Good Magic earned championship honors following his victory in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at 2 and recorded another Grade 1 win in the Haskell Invitational in his 3-year-old season, retiring with more than $2.9 million in earnings. Champion Good Magic, standing at Hillendale. Join us for the Thoroughbred Owner Conference, October 28th to the 30th at beautiful Santa Anita Park. Held during Breeders' Cup Week, the conference offers an excellent variety of ownership topics along with expert speakers and panelists. Plus, you'll enjoy prestigious social events, including the Breeders' Cup post-position draw and reception, trackside breakfast marquee, and conference dinner, along with seating for both days of the Breeders' Cup. As an added bonus, bring a would-be owner to the conference with you and receive a free set of racing silks. Visit ownerview.com today.
Airdrie Studs Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of two-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at two, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best grade one mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Studs Summer Front. Think about it.
Feel the excitement.
Coming to the wire.
Feel the thrill.
He's just awesome.
No matter where you are, with the Twin Spires app, you're at the center of it all.
Just as high as won the Kentucky Derby.
So download, play, and win today, because with Twin Spires on your mobile device,
he's still undefeated.
You can bet the Kentucky Derby. Visit Twin Spires to place legal bets, receive special offers, and the most up-to-date information.
Terms and conditions apply. Please wager responsibly.
Florida Breads consistently compete on racing's biggest stage. Homebred Win 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 looks to join Needles, Carryback, Foolish Pleasure, Affirmed, Unbridled, and Silver Charm as Florida Bred winners of the Kentucky Derby for Charlotte Weber's Live Oak Stud. And Florida Bred champion Cookie Dough carries the hopes of the Sunshine State and the Kentucky Oaks for owner Breeder Arendale. Breed and race for more money in Florida. Learn more at FTPOA.com.
Yo, guys, they call me Jersey Joe, but it's only Joe Bravo. Call me whatever you like. Just so happy that you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farm.
At the quarter pole, and it's Warneville who leads them into the fairground stretch. Three quarters in 1 minute 12.20 seconds. It's Warneville coming down to the final furlong, staying on his country house. The dump had a take up off of heels. Charging on the outside, Hog Creek Cussel. They come inside the final 16th. It's War of Will, chased home by Country House. Past the 16th, it's War of Will. War of Will from Country House. Then Royland, War of Will. Wells, well of them again. Won the Risen Star from Country House. Royland was third. Hog Creek Cussel, fourth across. From Lima Knight, Manny Wah, then Mr. Money.
John G. Dooley with the call of the Risen Star Stakes at the Fairgrounds. War of Will, better known as Wow, around the Mark Cassie barn. He was Wow that day, not so much in the Louisiana Derby. We're going to talk to Mark Cassie coming up in just a little bit. Welcome back to the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farm here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, and Bobby Newman trackside on the backside of Churchill Downs in our Red Brand broadcast tent, and happy to have you back with us. As I mentioned, Mark Cassie coming up in just a couple of minutes. Trainer Brett Calhoun is scheduled to join us around 8:45 Eastern time. He, of course, will saddle the Louisiana Derby winner in Saturday's Kentucky Derby, by my standards. Ann Hardy, the executive director of Horse Country, will be with us at 9 o'clock to tell you all about their tours that they offer in the Lexington area. And Tom Van Berg, toward the end of the show, at 9:35 Eastern time. He sends out Motion Emotion in the Kentucky Oaks on Friday. Of course, the son of the late Jack Van Berg, the trainer of Ali Sheba.
Yeah, well, Tom walked by here yesterday, and I heard his voice, and it sounded so much like his dad. It gave me chills. It was great. Yeah, I just looked up when I heard it, and it was like talking to Jack.
He loves the fact that he's carrying on his dad's legacy, you know, kind of taking over that operation and trying to continue what his dad built. And it's not a, you know, I think he looks at it as being an awesome responsibility, and it is.
Yeah, well, not only his father, but his grandfather.
Yeah.
Marion H. Van Berg, you know, from a family of tremendous trainers. And, you know, it's great for him to have the family business and continue on.
Mark Cassie's here. I see him walk over here. There's Mr. Cassie, as my wife likes to call him. He loves that. Like a 20-time Sovereign Award winner. He is here. We'll get him on right now, actually. You want to come on right now, Mark? Let's do it. There he is. We were just talking about Wow, as you like to call him, around the barn.
Okay.
War of Will. What the hell happened last time out? What went wrong? His horse is so good.
Yeah, it was just freaky thing. He lost his footing, but he lost it behind about, I don't know, four or five jumps out. He broke running, as he always does. He's an extremely fast-breaking horse. Sometimes he breaks so fast it It hurts him. I don't know. He slipped behind. We think maybe caught just for a millisecond or whatever, caught his stifle. He has such a long stride, and he stretches out so far, and I don't know. That's the only thing we could come up with. But it kind of threw him out of his game, and, I was just happy to get him back in one piece.
Yeah, that was fortunate because it didn't look great when you saw it, and then you always question what happens afterwards.
Well, and in all honesty, I didn't even care about winning after that. I just wanted to make sure he was okay, and we got lucky, and he's done everything right since.
Yeah, what are you seeing from him over the past 6 weeks or so?
I don't think this is just my opinion. I think it's the opinion of many. I don't think you could ask a horse to train any better than he's trained. He hasn't missed a beat. He's done everything. Now, we did change. We've been a little harder on him. We've trained him pretty aggressively. I had always planned on doing that because we were going to have 6 weeks between the Louisiana Derby and. But even more so, I would have never breezed him out of the gate. I took him. I didn't want him remembering that bad experience, so we took him over the gate. He worked really well, and he gets over Churchill Downs extremely, extremely well.
He's been very keen in the mornings. Is that a function of the 6 weeks off, or does he always train like that?
He's feeling good. He's a little on the keen side. Interesting enough, he usually, when we run him, he's a cool, calm customer. So there's a lot going on around here.
Oh, yeah, I know.
There's a lot going on. So, but he's, I think, yesterday he was on, we jogged him one, galloped him one, and he went good. Today he's still feeling good. He's like, I'm ready to go. I think he's at he's peaking right now.
You can see how he flies out of the gate because he's loaded for bear now.
Oh, he is. He's loaded. Yeah. He's an athlete, and he's like, let's do it today.
He's a horse that you ran in graded stakes three times before he ever got his maiden victory. How early did you know that you had something good on your hands?
It's funny because up at Saratoga, you have people come by every day. I'd bring him out and show him to everybody.
I read that. It cracked me up when I read that.
Oh, you want to see a good horse? I would bring him out and I showed him to everybody. And we got him from France. And what happened was he flew into New York quarantine and I sent him to our Belmont barn, who's run by Jamie Begg, who's been with me for years. And he said to me, this is a pretty horse. And the first time we let him do something, which was probably 2 weeks after he arrived, Jamie said to me, this horse is special. So, and then I said, well, if he's that special, send him to me. So he came up to Saratoga. And at the time, all the ruckus was over Wonder Gadot. She had just won the Queen's Plate. And she had won the Prince of Wales and was getting ready for the Travers. And I told Gary Barber, I said, he's better than Wonder Gadot. I told him that before he ever ran. So we've been high on him. I sent him up. The reason we went, if you look at his pedigree, it says grass, 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 even though he trained tremendous on the dirt. I said, Gary, I think we can win the Summer Stakes, which is a grade one win and you're in. And he said, well, that sounds nice. And I said, he's not quite ready to run, but I want to get a race over the turf course. So I'm going to send him up and run him in a maiden special weight. I thought he would still win, and he kind of disappointed me that first day. But after that, David Adams, who's my longtime assistant, been with me 25 years at Woodbine, he said, I see why you like him so much the first time. And we breezed the other day. When he breezed a half here a few days ago, everybody was going around, wow, boy, he's good. I said, you see what I've been seeing for a long time. This is, he touts himself big time. He's probably, as far as the whole package, he's got it.
Yeah, he's one of just a couple of horses in the field to own a win here at Churchill Downs, too. Mm-hmm. How much of an advantage
on a little bit of a wet track, which looks like that what we're going to get. I don't think it hurts, that's for sure. It doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Yeah, Mark Cassie with us here on the Derby Countdown Show, presented by Hillendale Farm on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You know, when you made the decision to move him from the grass and try him on the dirt, it was like he was a different horse, right? You always knew he was special, but he became really special. Did you always think that might be a play to kind of give him a shot on the dirt?
Well, a couple things. Gary and I actually talked about running him in the juvenile instead of the turf. And I was like, you know, Gary would have done it in a second. I was like, he's run so good on the grass. I think we can win the Breeders' Cup on the turf. And he had a terrible trip in the Breeders' Cup turf. He could have easily won it. And if he had won it, then we may have never known how good he was on the dirt. It was almost after we got beat in it, Gary said, oh, good. Okay, we got beat. Let's run on the dirt. So that had been in our mind all along. We kept, you know, trying and thinking that we wanted to run him on the dirt.
You think you put that idea into Richard Mandela's head?
That might be a little far-fetched.
Well, looking at the dates, it maybe not that far-fetched.
Yeah, now, I have to tell you something. As a trainer, I go over all the charts every day, and I watch results. And sometimes when I see things working, it does make me do other things. So, but I would find it hard to believe that Richard Mandel is worried about what I had done.
I don't know. He spends a lot of time thinking about his horses. That's all he thinks about.
So me too. My dad used to say, if it didn't whinny, I wouldn't know anything about it. I mean, somebody said, oh, who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl? I said, who's in it?
Yeah. Mandela's the same exact way. He doesn't care about baseball, football, any of that stuff. He's only horses.
Well, you kind of have to be like that, right, in this business if you're going to be good?
There's just so many aspects of it. There's so many, you know, I've often said, I don't make my decisions. I don't throw a dart at the dartboard and decide. I do a lot of, if you go and open my computer up right now, there's no sports on it. There's probably six condition books opened up and the stake schedules. And so that's what I do. And I do it, you know, during the day. I do it in the afternoon. I do it at night. That's what I do.
So you don't have a small barn by any means. So when you get to the Derby or something like this where you have a horse coming up to the biggest race in the world or a big race, how do you manage the rest? You know, how is your time divided between, well, War of Will is the center of attention right now, but I still have 100 horses, whether it's in Canada or in Florida or somewhere else, you know, that have races coming up this, you know, in the next few weeks that I need to worry about?
I spend a lot of time in my hotel room. And, you know, because
lose horse siren. That's never a good thing.
No, especially when I have horses out here.
Right. Looks like right in front of us here, actually.
Helen Pitts, I think.
Yeah, it looks like a Helen Pitts horse right in front of us. I think the Outriders have him.
Okay, good. So I spend a lot of time. We videotape pretty well all our breezes, our horses after they breeze. So I watch videos all morning long. But it does. It is a little tougher when you're doing interviews, you're doing dinners. If you should see my schedule today, I was that's what I said. Somebody said, oh, you seem tired. I said, well, I do have a few things going on, and I said, I got to do this, and
wait
then I have
Saturday.
To think about, you know, because I look over what every horse does every day, and you know, so it's just me. I feel I'm a little, I don't know. My wife has names for it, but
single-minded.
Well, you have a lot going on. I won't keep you much longer, Mark. But you mentioned how there's a lot going on when you started talking about War of Will. And you first came to the Derby in 2006. You've been here several times now. They say with athletes, once they get accustomed to the speed of the game, like an NFL quarterback, for example, the game kind of slows down for them. Is it like that for a trainer now that you've been here several times? Do things kind of slow down? Can you maybe enjoy it a little bit more than you did in the early days?
You know, it all depends on the situation. Everybody says I seem a little calmer this year than normal than when we were here with Classic Empire, but that was probably the horse. You know, Classic Empire always kept you on your toes because you never knew what he was going to do. And so, yeah, I was nervous about that. I guess after you do it a while, it becomes, you know, a little easier.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you've done it a long time. You've done it very, very well. Congratulations, by the way, on another leading trainer title in Canada, another sovereign award for you, and training the Canadian Horse of the Year, Wonder Godot.
Well, thank you. I think we ran a really nice horse the other day. I think we have a shot maybe to win another Queen's Plate. So that would be fun.
We'll be there.
Okay.
We'll be privileged to broadcast it,
okay,
my friend.
Yeah, good.
Go get it done. Good luck in the Kentucky Derby, too.
Thank you. Thank
All
you.
Right. Mark Cassie, as good as it gets here on the Horse Racing Radio Network. You know, look, you can see why these guys, you talk about that singular focus, right? You mentioned Mandela. Mott's the same way, right? This is all they do. This
right.
is all they want to do, right? You train horses for 20 years.
Yes.
You kind of have to be like that.
I was not single-minded. I love baseball.
That's why he's not training
and
horses.
And I read books. Exactly. Exactly. I mean,
not you know, that you can't be successful that way, too.
No, but I like going to the beach. I like spending time with my kids. I mean, it's a whole different dynamic for some of these guys. That's all they want to do. That, you know, I never was like that, but I understand it. You know, I think Bobby Frankel, believe it or not, was one of the most well-rounded trainers. He thought about his horses a lot, but he collected baseball cards. He loved to go to baseball games. He, you know, was friends with Joe Torre, and I mean, he had other interests besides horse racing, and still operated at a tremendously high level. But, you know, he also didn't have 300 head of horses.
Right, you know? Right.
So it's an all-consuming business, and if you want to operate at a high level in this environment right now, you have to be single-minded. You cannot vary your routine very much.
And I think you'd agree that, you know, these guys like Mark Cassie who have horses four or five different tracks at one time, their help has got to be so tremendous for them to keep up the stats that they have. Mark Cassie's always going to get the credit, and he deserves the credit. You know, but his barn wins 20-25% of the races, and they, you know, he's not at Woodbine, at Gulfstream, at Churchill every day. He may have the ultimate say in what's going on, but he obviously has hired some tremendous people to work with him, and just as all of these trainers have.
Well, you notice he talked about a couple of assistants that were with him for 25 years. I mean, that's what happens. I mean, you develop your staff over a period of time, and as you get more and more horses, and it's not like he has a token barn, you know, at any track. He has 40, 50 horses at every track, and probably even up to 100 sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, he's got a very far-flung operation, and he's the, you know, chief executive officer. So he's got to spend a lot of time, you know, getting everything right. And I thought your question was brilliant because a lot of people don't realize that, you know, you can only be one place at a time.
So let me ask you guys this question. After hearing Mark Cassie talk about War of Will and saying he kind of touts himself, are you buying or selling?
But
he didn't seem concerned about it.
No, he didn't, and that's why I asked him. You know, is that his normal way? So I would say I'm probably more buying now than I was before. The horse looked really, really sharp, and I'm either using himself up a little bit early and maybe not having the same stretch kick that he does. But we'll see what develops.
I think he's facing a lot tougher this Saturday than he saw down at the fairground. Not sure that the fairgrounds runners were as strong as maybe the Southern California runners, maybe as strong as the ones in New York, the ones in Keeneland. He, aside from his last race where he lost all chance shortly after, he kind of manhandled his competition down there. There weren't a lot of horses immediately behind him that came back to win in their next start. So I just think that he is going to be seeing a tougher level of graded stake competition than what he's seen. That being said, he's obviously a very good horse.
Yeah.
I mean, we're splitting hairs. We're saying this graded stake horse is not quite as good as this other graded stake horse. Boy, he is a super nice horse, and he was right. I mean, this horse is by Warfront, who himself is by Danzig, out of a Sadler's Wells mare. No wonder they tried this horse on the turf the first four times out of the box. And who knows? Maybe this is a horse who's good enough. I mean, he may just be better now than he was back then. Maybe he'll end up back on the turf at some point. That being said, he's a very nice horse. I think he's just a hair behind a few of the other ones.
We'll continue to talk about the Louisiana-based horses, including the Louisiana Derby winner, By My Standards. When we come back, we're going to be joined by his trainer, Brett Calhoun. Stay with us. You are listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Derby, Kentucky Oaks, and the Triple Crown.
Eclipse champion Blaine was considered by many as the breakout stallion of 2018. His top runners included Grade 1 winner and Eclipse Award finalist Marley's Freedom, plus Grade 1 winner Fault and graded stakes winners Maraw, Beyond Blame, Miss Kentucky, and Blamed. His yearlings sold up to $500,000, and his sensational daughter Fault brought $1.2 million at the November sale. Outstanding results, outstanding value. Blame, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Do you watch races like the Kentucky Derby and wonder what it would be like to be in with a chance? With a live runner on horse racing's biggest stages, West Point Thoroughbreds can get you there. You can play in a big way right away. We've been doing it for 28 years. The Derby? Been there. Won that. Go online at westpointtv.com. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships.
Spendthrift Farm introduces its newest breeding program for 2019, the Safe Bet Program. Breed to a fourth-year stallion and watch his first crop of two-year-olds have measurable success on the racetrack in 2019, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born. To learn more about the Safe Bet Program, visit spendthriftfarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's spendthriftfarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
The Phillies take center stage this Friday as HRRN brings you exclusive coverage of the 145th running of the Kentucky Oaks. Live from Churchill Downs, who will take home the lilies for the Phillies? Tune in to find out. Kentucky Oaks 145 on HRRN, presented by Twin Spires, beginning at 4 p.m. Eastern on Sirius 219, XM 201, and streaming live at horseracingradio.net.
Hi, this is Shug McGahee, and I really enjoy listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farm.
Unbridled Stone, Cavendish on the inside, out the middle of the track, Grindstone is closing stoutly. It's Cavendish on the inside and Grindstone on the outside. McCarron and Bailey, here's the finish. Two times to fall. Was it Cavendish on the inside? Was it Bailey with Grindstone on the outside? Noses apart after a mile and a quarter in the Kentucky Derby.
Dave Johnson with the call. 1996 running of the Run for the Roses. It was indeed Grindstone who got his nose to the wire first in that Kentucky Derby, defeating Cavendish. And Grindstone, the last horse to win both the Louisiana Derby and the Kentucky Derby. That is exactly what By My Standards will try to do coming up here on Saturday afternoon for trainer Brett Calhoun, who is nice enough to swing by for a few minutes on a very busy morning for him. Brett making his first appearance in the Kentucky Derby, and Happy to have you, my friend.
Good to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming by. How you holding up?
Pretty good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's the experience been like so far?
It's been great. I'm enjoying it. You know, obviously a lot of added pressure, but I'm really happy to have the opportunity to have that pressure.
Yeah, this horse ran so well last time out. Look back on that race.
Yeah, an incredible race. We were looking for a big race coming in there. I know it was a big step up in class coming from a maiden race to the Louisiana Derby, but he had been touting us pretty heavily in the mornings, and he performed that way in the afternoon. Great race, you know, was kind of in behind traffic, got an opening, exploded through it, finished big, and bounced back like it wasn't any big deal.
Arguably, he's been training better than any horse on the grounds for the last couple of weeks or ever since he's been here. Talk about that. I mean, a wise guy horse is an understatement right now.
Well, I'm glad everybody's talking about him because that means he's doing well. But he has had a really good 6 weeks since the Louisiana Derby. He's had four works here, and they've all been fantastic.
It just looks awesome. I mean, it push button even.
Everything's effortless for this horse. He's got a great mind. He's a very athletic horse. And he does things extremely easy. So, you know, hopefully that plays into a good run in the Kentucky Derby. Obviously, you got a 20-horse field. Everybody's jockeying for positions. You know, you got to have a lot of luck, too. But he's a good horse, and we're happy to be here with him.
You mentioned jockeying for positions. This is the time of year where it seems like no matter how well a jockey has ridden a horse, you see trainers or owners wanting to go to the quote-unquote big names around the country. But Gabriel Saez, who's certainly a very good rider and is a big name down in Louisiana now, he's ridden by my standards all five starts, stays aboard him. Is this a no-brainer that Gabriel Saez stays aboard for the Kentucky Derby?
Well, first off, I'm a pretty loyal guy, and so is the owner, Chester Thomas, pretty loyal guys. And we have a lot of confidence in Gabe. He knows the horse very, very well. I think this is a race everybody always gets worried about, not having a seasoned Derby rider. But, you know, I think Gabe's pretty fearless, and I think he fits the horse well, and I think his mentality is going to fit well in the Kentucky Derby.
Brett, you're no stranger to winning races. In February, you celebrated a milestone, win number 3,000 in your career. I mentioned this is your first Kentucky Derby, but for Chester Thomas, this is actually by my standards, his first graded stakes winner. So this is a big deal for him, too, not just his first Derby, but his first graded stakes winner.
Yeah, it's a big deal for all of us. You know, he's relatively new in the business. He had played around with it at a smaller level a while back, but he's jumped in with both feet now, and he's very, very excited about this, and I couldn't be happier for him.
It's always nice when you have a client that has that experience, that you can give them that experience and talk about that for a minute.
Well, Chester's made my job easy. He's enjoyed the ride. He's involved. He's out here. He's watching. But at the end of the day, he lets me make the decisions I need to make to get the horses to whatever race, however I need to do it. He doesn't push. And so that's made my job very easy, and I think that's been very helpful in us getting here.
Are you able to approach the Kentucky Derby as just any other horse race?
You know, I think I have. I've been able to do that and just train this horse like he's supposed to train, not worry about all the outside things, not worry about what everybody else is doing with their horse, and just stay focused on him. He's the only one I can control, and so that's what we've done, is kept him on his regular schedule, and everything seems to be going fine.
As a Texas guy, what was the first Derby you remember watching or listening to on the radio?
Well, I remember a lot of them, but the most vivid one for me was the first one I attended. It was in 1997, and I brought a little two-year-old to run on Derby Day in the WHAS back then, and a little horse named Favorite Trick beat me a hair on the wire, and he was Horse of the Year as a two-year-old, which is very rare, and it was a really fun time, a good ride for me. We sold that horse later, but he was my first horse to run it on the undercard of Churchill Downs on Derby Day.
So looking at By My Standards, this is a horse purchased out of a two-year-old in training sale at OBS, $150,000, which usually means that not only did you like the breeding of the horse, but horse must have done something in the under tax show that made him want to spend this kind of money. By Golden Sense out of a Mukhtarib mare, says sprinting on both sides, Have you always thought this horse more of a router, though?
Well, it was a very interesting purchase. Josh Stevens purchased this horse on behalf of Chester. And, you know, you look back, it was a 10-3 work, which is a pretty slow work at OBS. He's a first-year sire, Golden Sense. You know, you got to tip your hat to Josh finding this horse. But I think all along I was concerned about the pedigree. But as you train him, you kind of don't worry about it anymore. He checked all the boxes for him down there. They do a lot of cardio work up on him and stuff. So he actually fit the profile. But in the back of my mind, you know, Golden Sense was a champion miler. He wins the Breeders' Cup mile twice. And so the bottom side, you are a little concerned. But the way he's done things in the morning and then now in the afternoon, you don't worry about it too much.
He just seems so happy and delighted to be here. I mean, he goes out and does his work, and he just – you can see the smile on his face when he's training. So that goes a long way to getting longer distances.
He's a happy horse, and he's kind of a camera hound. I swear, he pops the camera up, he pricks his ears and sticks his head out and everything. But he's just loving his job. And, I've said many times I was very disappointed in his race right before he broke his maiden. I still today don't know how he lost that race. And so I kind of lost a little confidence in him that day. Don't really know what the deal was. I just think he didn't know how to finish off a race. And I think once he got beat that day, the kind of light came on a little bit. He comes back and he breaks his maiden, and then he really figured things out and became a different horse. But he's a very happy horse and loves his job.
Talking to trainer Brett Calhoun here on the Horse Racing Radio Network, the Derby Countdown Show presented by Hillendale Farm. Brett, one other cool aspect of being here for the first time is you're going to get to make that walkover around the clubhouse turn when you bring By My Standards over before the race. I always say that that's like walking up the 18th fairway at Augusta, right?
I'm sure it's going to be exhilarating, nerve-wracking. I remember making the walk in 1997 with Cowboy Dan, like I said, in the WHS Stakes. So not that it wasn't the Derby, but the environment was the same, and I thought it was insane. People were hanging onto the chain link fence and shaking it, and you're looking up and you're going, "Oh my God, what is this horse thinking?" I know what I'm thinking, and it's a wild experience.
And that's why they don't have the 2-year-old race on Derby Day anymore.
Yeah.
Will you be able to sleep Friday night?
I think I will. I think I'm staying tired enough that I won't have any problems sleeping.
At least till 3 a.m.
Yeah. Well, listen, brother, I know you got a busy day. I told you we wouldn't keep you. So good luck on Saturday. Go get it done. You're always great with your time. Really appreciate you stopping by, and go get it done.
Appreciate you guys' support of horse racing.
All right. Brett Calhoun here on HRN, the former Texas Tech Red Raider. How about that?
Yeah, there you go.
They just gave their basketball coach an extension off that big run in the NCAAs.
You see?
Everyone wanted to hire him. He stayed with Texas Tech. Almost won the national championship, and now he's got deep pockets.
Maybe Brett will have one more run in him here on Saturday, huh? Wouldn't that be cool?
That'd be great.
He's a super nice guy, and a heck of a trainer. I mentioned the 3,000 win milestone that he reached in February. He knows how to train a good horse. Bobby, you mentioned this horse's pedigree. That could be the one thing that stops him here going a mile and a quarter. He has a very sprint-oriented pedigree, but he's training extremely well, so maybe it's hard to kind of navigate that. Do you overlook the pedigree because he's training so well? He proved he could get the mile and an eighth in the Louisiana Derby. What do you do with him here in that respect?
You know what? It brought to mind Strike the Gold. Remember when dosage was such a big thing coming into the Derby? They said, no horse can win if they don't have the certain dosage. And then Strike the Gold came up, and he wins. And then now nobody speaks about dosage anymore. Well, that's out of it. And you know, you couldn't be a 2-year-old champion and win, and you couldn't be have not raced at 2 and still be. And all these things go away. You know, there's something to talk about until somebody actually does it, and then nobody mentions it again. This horse, the way he's been finishing a mile and a 16th, a mile and an eighth, I can't imagine that the extra eighth of a mile is going to do anything to hurt him. He is going to fly under the radar a little bit simply because of his connections. Horse racing fans know Brett Calhoun, know Gabriel Saez. The massive, you know, the fans who will only hone in on these Triple Crown races, specifically the Derby, they're not the names Bob Baffert and Mike Smith and Javier Castellano and things like that. So if you like By My Standards, you're going to get a very square price. He looks like just one of many in here who are training very, very well. And if they can somehow work out the right trip, going to have a shot.
Yeah, I mean, we mentioned him being the wise guy horse, and I think he's going to get a lot of action because of the way he looks in the mornings. And now with the Churchill Downs show every morning of the horses training and stuff, you can't help but like him when you see him on the film.
Yeah,
I mean he just goes around there, and like I mentioned in the interview, he's such a happy horse. I mean that's half the battle right there. And it was interesting to hear Brett say that's all he can control is his horse. And I think that's the proper approach. I mean, you can get hung up on all the hype and stuff, but he's just always such a cool customer, Brett. And we had him on like a couple days after he won his 3,000th, and you would have thought, well, you know, he was number 27 or something.
Another day at the office.
Yeah, another day at the office. So he's got the right cool and calm attitude, and his horse is happy. So it's a good combination.
For those of you just joining us, we are live from the Red Brand tent on the backside of Churchill Downs. This is the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farm. As we came on the air at 8 a.m. Eastern Time this morning, we brought you the training report brought to you by Dean Dorton. And all the Oaks and Derby horses were on the track from 7:30 to 7:45. So we kind of took you there on tape delay as we recorded that at 7:30. But one horse we didn't see at that time was Juvenile Champion Game Winner, 103 for trainer Bob Baffert. He is scheduled to come onto the track right after this renovation break here at 9 o'clock. And, guys, the patrons have now dissipated here, all the industry folks that were here and the racing fans. So we get a pretty good view of that racetrack just about 20 yards in front of us here. So we should get a pretty good look at Game Winner as he comes onto the track. And looking forward to seeing him.
Yeah, that would be nice. He looked great yesterday. I'm expecting more of the same this morning.
All right, we're going to go ahead and get to another commercial break. When we come back, we will try to update you on Game Winner when he makes his way to the racetrack. Plus, we're going to visit with Ann Hardy, who is the executive director of Horse Country, based in Lexington, Kentucky. And still to come, Tom Van Berg, the son of late trainer Jack Van Berg. He's going to join us to talk about Motion Emotion, his filly, in the Kentucky Oaks. Stay with us. You are listening to the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farm on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Army Mule, unbeaten and unchallenged. A grade one winner of his first three starts by a combined 22 lengths, including a brilliant 6.5-length victory in the grade one Carter Handicap, while earning a 114 buyer speed figure, the highest buyer up to a mile in 2018.
And finishing fast, Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
Army Mule, standing at Hillendale Farm.
In Kentucky, our biggest celebrities have four legs, and thanks to Kentucky Proud Horse Country, you can now have unprecedented access to these equine stars. From bowling barn to finish line and beyond, you can see it all. Up-close experiences at our stud farms, nursery and sport horse farms, clinics, a training track, a feed mill, and aftercare facilities will open your eyes to the dedicated care these equine athletes receive for a lifetime. And don't forget to grab a free passport on your tour and start collecting stamps at every location you visit. Book now at visithorsecountry.com.
Hey, Mikey, anyone catch your eye yet for the Triple Crown?
Has anyone? How about all of them, Joey? Omaha Beach, Roadster, Game Winner, Maximum Security, Express Bet.
Express Bet? You mean the wagering site?
They ain't just a wagering site, Joey.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, they offer so much more for the Triple Crown.
Do they? Like what?
Well, their wager guides are practically world famous by now. I love seeing how Eddie Olczyk is betting the races. Plus, they got a money-back guarantee for a bunch of races, including the Preakness and the Kentucky Oaks. You get your money back if your horse finishes second or third.
That's a great deal, Mikey. How do I sign up?
Just visit expressbet.com. All the information is right there. Plus, if you don't have an account, you can sign up and pick a $500, $100, or a $20 bonus.
Sounds great. It's settled then. ExpressBet is my best bet for the Triple Crown season.
Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void where prohibited. National Gambling Support Line, 800-522-4700.
Hi, I'm Kieran McLaughlin. I'm so hot at this meet because I listen to Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farm.
And they're into the stretch, and it's just a Vian Mike Smith turning for home in front. Good Magic and Jose Ortiz a length behind as they come into the final furlong. Bravazo's down the center of the track, and then Audible on the inside is now up in a third. Justified, a two-length lead as they come to the final 16th. Good Magic on the outside is second. Audible third toward the inside, then it's still Regard. They're coming to the wire. He's just awesome! Justified has won the Kentucky Derby! was very close for second. Audible may have got there inside of Good Magic. Then it's still Regard in a final time of 2 minutes 4.20 seconds. He's still undefeated.
Welcome back to the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farm here on HRRN. Larry Colmus had the call of Justify winning the Kentucky Derby last year, the first step toward him taking all three Triple Crown races in 2018. And Justify, so impressive. He did something last year that may never be done again, having swept through the Triple Crown without a start as a two-year-old and doing it, of course, undefeated. Justify standing now at Coolmore's Ashford Stud in Versailles, Kentucky. And if you're looking to tour the horse farms, well, there's only one place to go. That is visithorsecountry.com. They do a tremendous job taking visitors to the bluegrass to these different farms and getting them up close and personal with all of their favorite horses. And Ann Hardy is the executive director of Horse Country. She's with us now by phone. Ann, welcome to the show. Appreciate the visit. All right, we'll get with Ann here in just a minute. Obviously a bit of a connection problem there, so we'll get with her. But in the meantime, guys, we got to look at Game Winner, who we told you was going to be on the track. He was not on the track at 7:30 Eastern with the other Oaks and Derby horses. Bob Baffert instead waiting to send him out now. He comes out after the renovation break, Jude, and he just kind of walked by us from our right to left along the outside rail. So many of the media members here are now along that rail trying to get pictures of him, but he hasn't come back around yet. He's making his way over toward the Twin Spires and the grandstand and clubhouse area before he turns around.
Yeah, no, he's directly across from us now heading towards the wire. He backed up jogging. Looks really nice. His coat looks good, and so we'll see how he gallops when he turns around. But looking forward to this.
All right, we're going to tell you more about Game Winner and get a chance to visit with Ann Hardy right after we pause 10 seconds for station identification. This is the Horse Racing Radio Network. Juvenile champion Game Winner, one of just a couple of horses in this year's Kentucky Derby field with a win over this racetrack. You heard from Mark Cassie earlier. War of Will is another one that has a win here at Churchill Downs. Bob Baffert, when I got a chance to catch up with him last weekend, I asked him that question just like I asked Mark Cassie, and he said, I think it helps not just that the horse has a win over the track, but that you have a good horse here at Churchill Downs. And I thought that was a great way to put it.
Yeah, that's always important. And, you know, his sire, Candy Ride, has a tremendous win percentage with horses going long at Churchill Downs. It's an interesting stat, and it could certainly play into the result of the Kentucky Derby.
By the way, in addition to Game Winner, Bob Baffert also has his Oaks filly, Florida Lamar, out on the track now, so saving a few from his barn from the mad rush of the specific Oaks Derby training time this morning. And he's got Florida Lamar, who's coming by us right now, just in as an easy gallop getting onto the backstretch.
He probably rolled in here about 8:30, quarter nine. Bob,
I don't think that happened.
Yeah, I think he was probably here pretty early this week. But he does have Jimmy Barnes. Yeah. You know, it's funny when I was at the barn with him the other day, and they were kind of he was walking through everything with Jimmy, coordinating when the horses were going to get here from California and which horses were going to be here. It wasn't just the Derby horses; there were other horses. He was trying to keep it all straight. And I looked at him after Jimmy left the room, and I said, Bob, I don't know how you and trainers with multiple horses like this, you know, big stables, keep it all straight. And he looked at me and says, that's why we have Jimmy. Jimmy Barnes, such an integral part of that entire team. Well, you heard that clip of Justify winning the Kentucky Derby last year. We told you he stands at Coolmore's Ashford Stud in Versailles, and that is one of the stops along the Horse Country Tours. You can visit visithorsecountry.com to learn more. Ann Hardy is the executive director of Horse Country, and she is indeed with us now here on the Derby Countdown. Ann, good morning.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Everything is good, and looking forward to talking about a little horse country here. This is, look, this is a concept that you and I talked about before you even launched, and I thought it was a great idea, and I think that now you have to be thrilled with the way that this has been received and the amount of people that have taken advantage of this opportunity.
Oh, man, we're so thankful for the opportunity to open the gates of these locations. We've had more than 100,000 guests through as of early this spring. So, of course, heading into the Derby season, we're going to crank that number up even a little bit more. And we appreciate, of course, all the support from the industry and folks just being willing to say, hey, we want to show these guys off and let people get close to it. And we kind of say it all starts here. You know, in Kentucky, there's such a huge amount of the industry that's just centered right here. And whether they're being raised up on one of our member farms or they're being sired by one of the guys at one of our member farms, treated at a clinic, or even retrained at an aftercare facility, a TIA-accredited aftercare facility, we have it all here. And it's so much of what makes the lead up to races like the Derby so exciting and gives us something to hold on to while we're waiting for the next big one.
Talk about what fans can expect when they book a tour with Horse Country. What's involved, Ann?
Yeah, so really the great thing about Horse Country is that you can go and you can look at all of the different options and choose what is most compelling to you. We have tours even still available this week at some of the big stallion farms like Lane's End, Spendthrift, Claiborne, Windstar even, and Jonabell Farm. But you can also choose to see something a little bit different, like a nursery. Mill Ridge is a great location. Places you can go and see the babies and the mamas as well. What's really exciting about it is that it's personal. You can craft an itinerary with us and our team that really helps you see everything that you want to see. And then once you get there, you know that you're going to be greeted warmly by the folks that live this life every day and care for these horses. They're going to tell you some good stories and maybe even give you their connections. I mean, I won't say a pick, but they can certainly tell you what the connections are, which are plentiful.
Hi, Ann. This is Bobby Newman. You mentioned some of the historic farms that they have a chance to visit with Horse Country Tours. Is it something where the people can go to just one farm in the day, or are there tours where you visit multiple farms on the same day?
Well, again, it's completely personalized. So if you want to craft an itinerary that takes you to, you know, three farms, is probably going to be pretty aggressive because we want you to eat some lunch at a good spot. But we're going to help you put together an itinerary that's completely customized. So folks that are just learning about it, they may choose to go to a single location. And then we have folks that come in and stay with us for a week or even 2 weeks, and they try to knock out the whole passport while they're here, which is also really fun and exciting.
Ann Hardy with us from Horse Country. She is the executive director. You can learn more by going to visithorsecountry.com. Guys, as Ann was answering that question, juvenile champion game winner, who we told you was on the racetrack here at Churchill, now he just kind of came across that clubhouse turn onto the backside and then broke off for his training here. Jude, what did you see as he just kind of came by us easy here?
Well, he looked really fluid, very full of himself, and it was beautiful to watch him gallop by. There wasn't anybody around him, too, which is unusual. So that was nice. I'm sure Bob appreciated that.
Bob, you looked at me. You took your right hand and you kind of made a motion, almost like a tomahawk chop kind of motion, pointing down toward that stretch area where he just went to. What'd you see?
Well, first of all, there are less horses on the track now than there were during the specified Oaks Derby time at 7:30 to 7:45. Nobody around him, and he worked. He didn't work, but he galloped a lot faster than what we saw from those horses earlier today, and significantly more aggressive than his stablemate, the filly Florida Lamar, who looked like she was out just kind of jogging around, maybe 2 minute licking. He picked it up. Once he got onto the backstretch here, it's almost like something clicked in, and he went pretty aggressively down the backstretch, and I can actually see Bob Baffert out in the distance, and he has a smile on his face, and look of confidence right now. So I think all systems were go with game winner from what he saw this morning.
I thought that was first down Kentucky he was doing.
Yeah, like the Tom Leach thing.
Yeah.
The old Tom Leach. Yeah. We are going to reconnect with Ann Hardy here, of course, the executive director of Horse Country. And I assume that someday game winner is a horse that will be available to go see on that tour.
You would think so, and he's a beautiful animal, and Very nice this morning. Looked super sharp.
Yeah, and a horse that a lot of people are thinking could be the one. Bob Baffert, I know, is pretty high on Game Winner, and he comes in here as a winner of two of the last four Kentucky Derbies. Of course, he won it in 15 with American Pharoah, came back in 18 last year with Justify, both of those horses sweeping the Triple Crown. Just an embarrassment of riches for a guy like Bob Baffert, isn't it?
Yeah, every year it seems like he comes up with the right horse.
What makes him so good?
You know, he despite his devil-may-care persona, he's a guy that really thinks a lot about his horses, and he knows how to win the Derby. He knows what it takes, and he gets some clients that are willing to put up the dough to get him the right horses. And so it's a team effort as usual. Jimmy Barnes a big part of that as well. So, you know, it's not any one thing, but it's a really nice group of things that create opportunity for him.
Don't forget, we're going to be here each of the next two mornings as well, 8 to 10 a.m. Eastern Time. You'll be able to join us for the Derby Countdown Show presented by Hillendale Farm. We'll come back on Friday with all of our coverage of Kentucky Oaks 145. That coverage begins 4 o'clock Eastern, presented by TwinSpires.com. On Saturday, we begin our coverage of Derby Day with our Equine Forum Show, presented by FarmPaint.com. From 8 to 10, Jude will be hosting that show from our Jimmy Johns of Lexington studios in Lexington, Kentucky. We'll get you set for the Derby with that morning show. Then we'll come back 2 o'clock Eastern with coverage of the Derby undercard presented by TwinSpires.com, and we'll segue into our coverage of Derby 145 afterwards, which is presented in partnership with our friends at NBC Sports and with Westwood One. Ann Hardy back with us now, the executive director of Horse Country. And before we lost the call there, we were talking about Game Winner coming by, and I said that there's no doubt that eventually he's going to be a horse that people can come see on those Horse Country tours.
Yeah, we'd love to welcome folks over for that. And I think, you know, Game Winner being a candy ride, Lane's End has always been a supporter and has tons of connections this year. And we look forward to seeing where all these folks land and welcoming their guests and fans to see them again in the future.
What's been the most rewarding part for you watching this develop, seeing it grow, and seeing the popularity of VisitHorseCountry.com?
I think for me the most rewarding thing is that Horse Country, the tours and what the members have done by offering this experience to come behind the gates, is that within our industry you get to see a lot of things like what's going on today in the works and the backstretch and the racing, but being able to be on the farms, at the clinics, seeing the care that's taken in our TAA-accredited aftercare facilities, there's transparency there. And so if people, you know, have questions about what the life of a thoroughbred is like, I definitely encourage them to come and visit us, because being able to offer that real authentic look into what the life of a racehorse is like, that's a really important part of our sport, and we're proud that we get to be a part of it.
And there are people listening to this program all over the country and all over the world that may be thinking about making the trip to the Bluegrass now because of this interview. So when they go to visithorsecountry.com, talk about some of the things that they're going to see there and how they go about getting hooked up with one of the tours.
Yeah, so when you get to visithorsecountry.com, there are going to be options for you to request private tours or just take a look at what the public schedule is like. There are many different options, and, of course, choosing the dates that you're interested in coming or choosing the type of experience you're interested in having. All of those filters are available to just take a look and see through what we have. But we also encourage folks to call us. We have a great staff that's here to help plan, answer questions, make sure that people make good decisions about when they're going to come. Because, of course, if you're coming to see a particular horse and he might be traveling, he might go on his own little vacation down south. We want to make sure that we get you out to the locations you want to see and the horses that you want to see during the right time of year. So while everything is certainly possible to self-serve online with that book your tour button, we also just love having a chance to talk to people and hear about why they love the horse and why they want to come. And guests from 23 different countries outside of the U.S. have come to visit us so far, and all 50 states. So we would just welcome them. We'd love to have 24 and more.
What's it boiled down to stats-wise, the stallions or the broodmares that people want to come see?
The stallions are definitely, we kind of compare those to like the big names like the Woodford Reserve Distillery. Of course, everybody knows Woodford this year. And so those guys are definitely drivers of it. But what we find is that the hidden gems really delight people and surprise them as well. So if someone's going to come and they're really led by wanting to visit at a farm, we'll try to make sure that they also go see Hallway Feeds or visit at a nursery, because it tends to really just surprise and delight and round out their experience.
All right, Ann, I'm going to put you on the spot before we let you go. Who's your Derby horse?
Oh, man, this is a terrible question for me, because unlike you professionals, I am not a great handicapper. I'm super emotional about everything, and so I'm all about the connections. You know, I love seeing Omaha Beach work, and knowing that that's a war front, that makes me real happy. I'm also thrilled to see the success of Roadster this year. He is a Stone Farm kind of graduate, which is also a member of our location, of our organization, and you can't beat the training on both those horses. But I'm also just, I'm real personally connected, so read in that what you will.
Hey, that was pretty good analysis to me. Well done. Ann Hardy, the executive director of Horse Country. You can go to their website. It is visithorsecountry.com. We encourage you to do so. As Ann said, more than 100,000 visitors have taken advantage of the opportunity. Make sure you do the same. Visithorsecountry.com. Ann, really appreciate the visit this morning. Keep up the great work, and enjoy the Oaks. Enjoy the Derby.
Thanks, guys. You too. Take care.
All right. Yeah, good stuff. That is a great program. I remember when we talked about that, as I said in the interview, before she even launched, and the entire team putting that effort together. And they said, geez, we don't know. I mean, we think this will go. We think it's a cool concept, and it's been gangbusters.
Oh, it's fantastic. It's a great way to make sure you get to enjoy the full experience of going to a farm, and you don't have to worry about, you know, asking the wrong questions or whatever. It's all arranged for you. I love the idea. I think it's great.
Oaks contender Chocolate Kisses was on the track just moments ago. Bobby, did you get a chance to get a look at her, or has she not been back around yet?
She just backed up. She should be heading back around now, and this is one of those contenders that didn't run very well last time out. If you can somehow draw a line through that race, she's going to have a shot, and she's 20-1 on the morning line off a, you know, not a great performance in the Ashland last time out, but a monstrous run down the stretch at Oaklawn Park and the Honeybee prior to that. And interesting to see, I'm interested to see how she looks getting over here to Churchill.
Post positions were drawn for the Oaks Day program, the entire card, not just that Kentucky Oaks. They were drawn yesterday. 14 3-year-old fillies entered into the Oaks, two also eligibles. The morning line favorite is the California-based Bella Fina for trainer Simon Callahan. She has been brilliant. She is 2-1 on the morning line. When we come back, we're going to continue to look at the Derby picture. We'll also talk more about the Oaks. We're going to be joined in just a little bit by Tom Van Berg, the son of Hall of Fame trainer Jack Van Berg. He sends out Motion Emotion in the run for the Lilies. We'll talk to him coming up in just a little bit. And we'll tell you how you can get connected to us on social media all week long. You're listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Oaks, Kentucky Derby, and Triple Crown.
Good Magic, the champion son of champion sire Curlin, standing at Hillendale.
Good Magic's going to win his first race, and he's going to do it in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile.
Good Magic earned championship honors following his victory in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile at 2 and recorded another Grade 1 win in the Haskell Invitational in his 3-year-old season, retiring with more than $2.9 million in earnings. Champion Good Magic, standing at Hillendale.
Airdrie Stud's Summer Front is poised to skyrocket to national sire prominence with his first crop of 2-year-olds in 2019. A multiple stakes winner at 2, this talented son of Warfront went on to win her place in 12 graded stakes with lifetime earnings of more than $1 million. With an explosive turn of foot, Summer Front routinely recorded times of a mile and 33 in some of the best Grade 1 mile races in the country and possesses everything it takes to be an important sire for years to come. Airdrie Stud's Summer Front. Think about it.
Feel the excitement.
They're coming to the wire.
Feel the thrill.
He's just awesome.
No matter where you are, with the Twin Spires app, you're at the center of it all.
Justify has won the Kentucky Derby.
So download, play, and win today. Because with Twin Spires on your mobile device,
he's still undefeated.
You can bet the Kentucky Derby. Visit Twin Spires to place legal bets, receive special offers, and the most up-to-date information.
Terms and conditions apply. Please wager responsibly.
Join us for the Thoroughbred Owner Conference, October 28th to the 30th at beautiful Santa Anita Park. Held during Breeders' Cup Week, the conference offers an excellent variety of ownership topics along with expert speakers and panelists. Plus, you'll enjoy prestigious social events, including the Breeders' Cup post-position draw and reception, trackside breakfast marquee, and conference dinner, along with seating for both days of the Breeders' Cup. As an added bonus, bring a would-be owner to the conference with you and receive a free set of racing silks. Visit ownerview.com. today.
This is Wesley Ward. I'm the Conqueror of Royal Ascot. I listen to HRN.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farm.
They're making their way to the top of the stretch. Not that Brady has put away Jovia, but here come Tex and Tacitus with their runs. Three quarters in 111.46, and they're into the stretch. And here comes Tex and Tacitus, and the two of them are right together as they come to the eighth pole. Long shot Math Wizard has run a big one. He's third to the outside. Tacitus on the outside. Tex along the rail. Tacitus and Tex locked in battle at the 16th pole. It's Tacitus in front. Tex second on the inside as they come down to the line. Hightower takes third late. It is Tacitus in the Wood Memorial. Tex was second. Hightower was third. Math Wizard was fourth in 151.23.
Welcome back to Churchill Downs in Louisville, Kentucky. Gorgeous morning for the sport of kings. Temperatures closing in on the 70-degree mark. Going to get up into the mid to upper 80s here in Louisville this afternoon. That will be the case over the next couple of days. There is a chance for rain moving into Kentucky Oaks Day, and depending on the timing, possibly into Derby Day. But as of the weather reports this morning, it looked like about a 40% chance of rain coming in on Saturday late, which, of course, the Kentucky Derby is set to be run at 6:50 Eastern time. So keep that in mind. It all depends on the timing of these showers and these fronts as they make their way through the Louisville area. Mike Penna alongside former top trainer Jude Feld and track announcer Bobby Newman. We are positioned on the backside of Churchill Downs, looking directly at the Twin Spires, about 20 yards from the main track where the horses have been training throughout the morning. We are broadcasting from our Red Brand broadcast tent, and happy to have you back with us on the Derby Countdown presented by Hillendale Farm. Bobby, you just were pointing out Chocolate Kisses, who flashed by as I was welcoming everybody back to the show. What'd you think of Chocolate Kisses, the Oaks contender?
Real easy gallop for her, just cruising around the track, nothing serious. Looked as good as you could. There was, you know, all the serious work is done for her, so she's just out stretching her legs. And if you liked her going into the Oaks, there was nothing to see this morning to dissuade you from that opinion.
Yeah, she's just going through the motions, doing her thing, trying to stay fit and happy, and could give a big account of herself. She's got ability.
Well, don't forget, you can follow us on social media throughout the week, and a couple new ways to do that now. Of course, you've always been able to get to us on Twitter, at HRRN on Twitter, and more than 12,000 fans have connected with us there. We appreciate that. You can now follow us on Instagram and on YouTube, our brand-new YouTube channel. Our Chanel Cacho has been busy taking videos and pictures throughout the morning here, so we'll make you feel like you're with us here at Churchill Downs. And you can follow us on Facebook as well. Just search Horse Racing Radio Network on Instagram, YouTube, and Facebook, and at HRRN on Twitter. Lots of ways to see the pontiff now.
Oh, boy. There's a thrill. Wow.
Is that not a selling point?
I wouldn't necessarily think so. It depends on who you are, I guess.
Different outfits.
Oh, speaking of outfits, how about jockey Julian Leperoux, who is, of course, aboard Master Fencer in the Kentucky Derby. He'll ride the aforementioned Chocolate Kisses in the Kentucky Oaks. But when he goes postward in the Grade 1 Humana Distaff on the Derby Day undercard, he is going to be wearing our HRN logo on his pants and on his shirt. So pretty cool. We want to thank Julian for that. We're hoping that he'll stop by for a few minutes here on one of these programs tomorrow or Thursday. But I really want to thank Julian for doing that. And I did tell him, though, I said, look, if we're going to put our logo on you, man, you got to win. Don't be running last on me here.
No pressure.
By the way, a little different look than what we saw him this morning, what he was wearing, a Boardmaster fencer.
Yeah, what was that?
That was a beautiful jacket. Very Japanese style.
What'd you think of Master Fencer when you saw him out there this morning?
I think he's all right. I don't know what to make of him. I would be lying if I said I had an opinion of Master Fencer because I don't know anything about him. But he looked fine. He had those earmuffs on that were beautiful with the really nice.
And tying into Jack Van Berg, Gate Dancer, probably the most famous in the last 30, 40 years as far as American racing goes, with the big, you know, the covers on the ears, and I, you know, can still see it, Gate Dancer and Wild Again and Slew of Golden, the very first Breeders' Cup Classic in 1984, and you couldn't miss Gate Dancer wearing those big white earmuffs, yeah. Not earmuffs,
he's the
but
first
ear coverings.
I think of when I see a horse with earmuffs now.
Exactly.
Well, they were earmuffs. They were designed to keep the sound away. He was a kind of a quirky horse. He used to get himself into some trouble, and I remember one day Jack Van Berg, his trainer, was talking to somebody, and they said, well, he doesn't win many races, but he'd won like $2-3 million, and Jack says, well, you can't buy groceries with Winner's Circle pictures.
Yeah.
That was his answer to him. Like, this horse made a lot of money. I don't care whether he wins that often or not, as long as he's banking those big checks.
That inquiry, by the way, in the 84 Breeders' Cup Classic, I think took longer than any inquiry I can ever remember. And they left Wild Again up. Do you remember who trained Wild Again?
Vincent Timpany.
Yeah,
I used to go to his house for dinner on a regular basis, and that film was always on a loop. The minute you walked into Vincent's house, you just had to look to the TV on the right. There was a special TV, and it played Wild Again around the clock.
That was Pat Day, right?
Pat Day.
Pink silks with black polka dots.
No question about it.
Yep. Yeah.
I wonder if, like, Thad Ackle has great communicator on a repeat on his TV.
Something tells me Thad doesn't have a great communicator. And I don't know. It's not Thad's style, but it was Vinny's style, and I miss Vince Timpany. Not only was he a good horse trainer and a fine person, but he was a great Louisiana chef as well, and used to really enjoy going to his house. He'd call me, and he'd go, Jude, my boy, I'm making couchon de lait, and that was roast pork.
Ooh.
It was the best thing you could ever eat. Vinny was the best. He was a really good guy.
Trainer Tom Van Berg is set to stop by in just about 10 minutes or so. He had a couple of sets going out after that renovation break at 9 o'clock, and we told you Game Winner came out onto the track. He looked good going through his morning preparations here as we edge closer to Derby 145. You heard the clip coming out of that last commercial break of Tacitus winning the Wood Memorial. Larry Colmus had the call. Tacitus, a horse that's won 3 consecutive starts after being defeated in his maiden race at Belmont last October. He is one of 2 set to go to the post for Hall of Fame trainer Bill Mott in search of a first Derby victory. And here's a guy in Bill Mott, guys, that has won more than 4,900 races in that Hall of Fame career. And this is one that has eluded him. But in fairness to Bill, he doesn't start a lot of horses in the Kentucky Derby. These will just be his 9th and 10th starters in the race, respectively. So he hasn't had a lot of chances. It's a very difficult race to win. But Tacitus has been doing everything right. He continues to improve, and a lot of people thinking he might be the one.
Well, he's certainly fit, and he's been galloping strongly, looking good in the mornings. So, but more importantly, Kurt Becker's Fascinator has just arrived.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I see that. Yeah. Our colleague Kurt Becker. Another track. What is it with track announcers, man? What is it with you guys?
We're just degenerates. You're telling us that we can get paid to go to the races? I mean, what's better than that?
You know, we talked to several trainers, Brett Calhoun and Mark Cassie, this morning. And by the way, if you missed any portion of this show, all of our Derby Countdown shows are going to be podcast for you on our website, horseracingradio.net. Our entire Derby Week schedule is there for you. SiriusXM information, listing of affiliates all over the country. Just go to our website, horseracingradio.net, and you can see all that information. We've asked those gentlemen when they've come on today about their Derby memories and some of the top Derbies for them. What was the first Derby you remember either attending or watching, Bobby?
That's a darn good question. The first one I attended was definitely 1987 when Ali Sheba won. and it was. I remember it. First of all, I was here with owners of a horse named Masterful Advocate. I was wearing a three-piece suit. It seemed like it was about 95 degrees. It was an absolutely, for me, for somebody who's not the fittest of guys, I was miserable the entire day. I said, oh, God, another hour between these races. I'm already sweating as it is but through this suit. But it just a huge crowd. So that was my first one attended. Obviously, had been a fan for several years. I remember in high school leaving a voice on the message on my answering machine to let everyone know that, you know, I wasn't there. And by the way, in the Derby, I like Swale. Or I did leave my SAT test early in 1985 to go to Hollywood Park and bet spend a buck, which turned out well. I got into the college I applied for, and I cashed a ticket. So yeah. It seemed like all in all a pretty good day. Not too many people are going to, you know, chance losing their college career to go bet down at Hollywood Park, but that's exactly what I did. And it's one of those days. I mean, whether obviously it's so special being here on the grounds right now, but nationwide, I mean, it's something everyone's looking forward to. Everyone has their plans for this Saturday.
Even if you're not a horse racing fan.
Right. I mean,
if you're a fan of sports.
There are parties. This is, you know, it's the fastest 2 minutes in sports. It's something that's on national TV. It's covered internationally.
National radio.
You know, exactly. allegedly. I've heard these things.
He's still learning.
Yeah, he'll catch
but,
on.
But, you know, the days of actually having to go to your local racetrack, they've made it so easy now where, you know, you can just watch it from home. You can watch it on your phone. You can listen to it on the radio. Am I doing better?
Done.
Am I
well
doing
done.
A little better?
Improving. Your speed figures are going up.
You can... You know, it's funny you should say. I'm going to tell you a funny story about listening to it on the radio. So a few years ago, I was at a family function in Nashville, and it was on Derby Day. It was 2015, American Pharoah. And there's probably 50 or 60 people, and we're all at the hotel. And I know that I'm going to get bombarded when it comes close to Derby time by a lot of folks who are not really horse racing fans but want to hang out. Meanwhile, I wanted to make a bet on the race, and I didn't want anyone to be around me when this was happening. So I went down. I remember pulling the call up, the radio call, on my phone, walking around the parking lot of the whatever it is, the Residence Inn or something, like, just so I wouldn't have to deal with anyone, and I could listen to American Pharoah winning the race. And then I went back and watched the replay afterwards.
That's did you cool. cash?
I did cash.
Yeah, that's good.
I am not ashamed to say that I took that low price and was very happy with it.
You know, I think my first, I was trying to think back on my first Derby I remember watching growing up in Western Massachusetts. For me, I think it was Strike the Gold.
Yeah.
I think Nick Zito. I think Strike the Gold, 1991. I think that was the one that I just remember, you know, sitting there watching it. And then, of course, came Little E.T. the next year, Pat Day's Only win in the Kentucky Derby. You had Sea Hero who followed that. I can remember watching Sea Hero at Saratoga in the Traverse Stakes that year, standing there at the top of the stretch and seeing Sea Hero do his thing. It was pretty cool.
Yeah, he was a fun horse.
And then Gopher Gin on that sloppy track. I was heartbroken that day.
That was a great day for me.
The great Holy Bull. Come on.
No. I was on Gopher Gin that day. That was a.
I don't think he's going to last long on HRRN.
Yeah,
this guy.
Right. Yeah. If he starts talking about the Patriots or the Ravens,
listen. It's all about me. It's all about me. I hope you guys all cash tickets as long as you're betting the same horse that I'm betting.
All right, here's what we're going to do, guys. We're going to get to a quick commercial break here. Tom Van Berg is set to come by and join us in just a few minutes, and he said he would do his best to get here right around that 9:35 mark. He did have a couple of sets working on the racetrack, so assuming he wrapped those up, he should be here momentarily. So let's get to a break, so when Tom comes back, we don't have to keep him waiting. We'll do that, and we'll look forward to catching up with him on the other side of this break. This is the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillandale Farm on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Learn the business of horses in the world's only accredited equine business program, the University of Louisville Equine Business Program. The University of Louisville has a legacy of excellence for more than 25 years of equine business education. Classes are taught by industry experts in state-of-the-art facilities located in the heartland of America's equine industry. The University of Louisville Equine Business Program. When it comes to horses, we mean business. For more information, visit business.louisville.edu/equine.
Warfront has sired 8 champions and 10 millionaires. Recent Grade 1 winners include Homesman, Fog of War, Lancaster Bomber, and European champion U.S. Navy Flag, plus 2019 Kentucky Derby hopeful War of Will. He's also sire of the highest price yearling sold in North America in 2018, and international super sire on all surfaces and all fronts. Warfront, standing at Claiborne Farm.
Is it burning within you? A desire to own racehorses, to head to the winner's circle like you were floating on air? Do it right. Do it with West Point Thoroughbreds. By owning pieces of multiple horses, you increase your chances of winning. West Point partnerships, all the thrills, a fraction of the bills. And the lifestyle? One that only the sport of kings can offer. West Point Thoroughbreds, the gold standard in racing partnerships. Go online today at westpointtv.com.
Hey, this is Christina McManigal. If you missed this week's episode of Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka, go to our website, horseracingradio.net, anytime to listen. We visit this week with jockey Julian Pimentel. He's riding Win 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 in this year's 145th Kentucky Derby. It's Jock Talk presented by Tito's Handmade Vodka every Tuesday at 6 or horseracingradio.net.
I'm 3-time Derby winning jockey Gary Stevens.
This is Rosie Napravnik.
Hi, my name is Sean Bridgerman.
Hi, my name is Alan Garcia, and I listen to Horse Racing Radio.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farm.
That's white on the inside, leads it by a head. On the outside, here comes Ali Sheba. Ali Sheba with Chris McCarron to the front. That's white back to second. Here's the finish. Ali Sheba wins it by 3 parts of a length.
Yeah, who can forget that day? Ali Sheba in 1987 taking the roses right here beneath the Twin Spires at Churchill Downs. That was Dave Johnson bringing them home. And Ali Sheba, of course, trained by the late Jack Van Berg, the Hall of Famer who saddled more than 6,500 winners in his career. That, his lone win in the Kentucky Derby. And on Friday, his son, Tom Van Berg, will send out Motion Emotion looking to win the Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks, and what a thrill that would be for Tom Van Berg if he could pull it off right here, where his dad, of course, made so much history with Ali Sheba.
And Motion Emotion is one of those who's going to get overlooked. She does have good form coming into the race. I think distance is going to be a big question mark for her. She's been getting a little bit tired down the stretch, going a mile and a 16th in a few races at Oaklawn Park. Recently, now going a mile and an eighth at Churchill, that's going to be the big question mark for her, is what kind of punch is she going to have once they make the swing for home?
She galloped sweetly this morning. She was just cruising around there nicely, very smooth, not a real big filly, kind of average size, but she can run. She's got some good speed, and she'll take them a ways, I think.
The Kentucky Oaks is scheduled to be run Friday right around 6:12 Eastern time, probably go just a couple of minutes after that. Our coverage begins 4 o'clock Eastern on Friday afternoon, presented by TwinSpires.com, and looking forward to that race and all the action coming up over those 2 days, Friday and Saturday. It's hard to get better racing than what we see over those 2 days, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very Breeders' Cup-like atmosphere. The best horses in the country are all here. All the big players are here. They want to win a race when the whole world is watching, like
yeah.
Wayne Lucas says. And whether it's an undercard race or one of the big ones, it's just an honor to participate during Derby week and Friday and Saturday for sure.
And by the way, the whole week, the purses are huge.
Unbelievable. The allowance races are now
100,000.
Yeah, 109, 103, depending on where they fall in the in the pecking order. But
what $100,000 maiden races this week?
Yeah, yeah. It's,
but, I mean, it wasn't that long ago when even the quote unquote big tracks in like Southern California would have a $50,000 stake race.
Oh yeah.
Now
yeah.
they have $100,000 maiden races and allowance races.
Yeah, and now winning $100,000 is kind of passe.
Not for me. That's what I'm looking for. Let's win $100,000.
Yeah. Guys, I'll tell you what, Tom Van Berg just sent a message saying he was on his way. So let's do this. We have one more commercial break to get to. Let's do it now. Then we'll come back and we'll visit with Tom. He's just showing up. Oh, wait, you know what? He's here.
Yeah, there he is.
But when you say you're on your way, you don't mess around. All right, the heck with it. We'll wait on the commercial break then because the man of the hour is here.
Well, I don't know about that. Hopefully I'm the man of the hour on Friday. Today doesn't do me much good.
I like the ball cap.
Ah, thank you.
JBB.
That's my legacy stables that the last group of yearlings Dad purchased. That's our little fun stable.
We just heard a clip of Ali Sheba winning the Derby here in 87. What do you remember about that day?
You know, the thing is, the first time we watched race live, I didn't realize he stumbled. And so until I realized that and watched the replay, I was like, holy cow, I mean, that was a disaster, you know, in the waiting there. So I didn't know it was a special on the first time I watched it is what it really was after the watch. And then when that started sinking in, I was like, that's just an absolutely amazing run.
You've been here multiple times since, but now you're here with a horse in the Kentucky Oaks. So it was a little bit different feel, maybe?
You know, it hasn't hit me yet because this filly has given me so much confidence. I've never wavered in the confidence. And so the way she's coming in this race is it's just like a – another race to me. I mean, she's doing that good. So, you know, if she's good enough, she'll be tough. And we'll find out, you know, come Friday. I mean, there's a lot of good fillies in there. If Bella Fina runs her race, I think everybody is running for second. But if, you know, she didn't run the best race here last time and, you know, maybe it's a mile and eighth might make a difference. So, you know, if she doesn't run her A race, then I think a lot of fillies have a chance.
She galloped really nicely this morning. She looks super.
She does that every day. And she's unbelievable to be around. Yeah. Loves the cameras, loves people. I mean, she's becoming a social media star. She just you can't get enough footage of her. She just loves being out there.
That's great.
Yeah.
When did you first get the sense she was special? Talking about Motion to Motion, by the way, your horse in the Kentucky Oaks.
We didn't know, I should say, because Mike and I talked about her when she first came in, how good she was. And we really didn't know probably the ability to the level that was going to be until she stretched out the first time. We knew as a two-year-old she was really good. And he ran her, what he does a lot of times, he calls it the minor leagues. He gives one start in the minors and then sends them up to the majors. And so he ran her actually against the Colts first time out. And she wasn't fully cranked. He's like, Tom, we're not working for the win. We're just kind of getting a race into her, get her out of the gate, teaching her how to run, you know, what's worth three or four works, then we'll send her down to you. And that's usually the program that what they do out there. And then when she came down here, I mean, she absolutely trained beautiful leading up to the race. We were ultra confident in her first race here. And about four jumps out of the gate, she loses her back in. She's on the slop, and she just goes out from her. And the starter thought she was going to fall down. He's like, I don't know how she didn't fall down. But she just, like, as she gathered herself up. And then the jock, for whatever reason, he goes from 10 lengths back to head-to-head for the lead, about six wide around the turn. And she's just galloping past the horse every stride. I'm like, holy cow, she's either going to win by 10 or she's going to get beat by 20, you know, whatever, you know. And she ended up getting tired. And I think it was Larry Jones might have won the race, and it drew off, you know, by a large margin the winner did. If he just sits on her, she runs second easily under on a race that had some serious, you know, issues in the early part of the going. So at that point, we're like, okay, this filly can run. She's showing what she can do. Her stride's amazing. She's got speed. And so then we had her actually enter in another race at Churchill, and it came up sloppy again. And just in the back of my mind, I'm like, maybe she doesn't like this track when it's sloppy. You know, she's trained unbelievably on it. We got a good filly for Oakland. Let's not just press our luck. We'll go down to Oakland. The purse is a little bit better right now. We'll get her ready for Oakland. And so then we got her wrecked at Oaklawn, and we got her in, and she was doing unbelievable. And I told John right off the bat, I said, if she breaks, they won't beat you. They won't head you, and they won't beat you. I said, that's how good this filly is, John. And she broke out of there. And I know Brad Cox had that Irish Mischief in there, and they were really high on her. And he chased us all the way around the track. And in fact, Florent Giroux just talked to me just now, and he rode Brad Cox's filly in the fantasy. And when we finished, we won. I think Irish Mischief may have run third that day. And Brad comes over the next day. He's like, is this filly for sale? He said, I know how good my filly is. And he said, mine ain't even come close to yours. And so then they started, you know, conversation about purchasing a private purchaser or purchasing a piece of her. And then we were going to stretch her out. And John Corse like, Tom, man, she is such a good sprinter. What are you doing? I'm like, John, believe me, this filly's got a stride. When she stretches out, she's going to get better. I promise you. And he's like, okay. And so we ran her and we stretched out. And then when she did what she did when she stretched out, setting those fractions and drawing off. Then we're like, well, we might have something here. And that's when all the phone starts, you know, phone calls started coming in. And then, you know, going into the honeybee, she was training unbelievable. And I had actually worked, you know, up to that point, probably the 3 weeks after her allowance race into the honeybee, we worked on setting her behind horses and relaxing. And she just, I mean, she drops the bit. You can just let the reins down and she'll just sit there and gallop behind horses and does it beautifully. And as soon as you swing her out, she takes it and takes off, you know, and just, you couldn't ask for a better horse to relax like that. And so I'm thinking, okay, we're going to set off the pace today. And she breaks and goes 22 and change. And then the Louisiana horse, Bernie Chatters, comes outside of us and starts pushing us. And I'm seeing this horse scrubbing on hers, and John's just sitting on her, you know, and her ears are going back and forth. You know, she's just galloping. I'm like, okay, we got this, filly. And then about the 3.5, I know Bizwax, Mario Gutierrez, we know him pretty well. And he was on Bizwax for Doug O'Neill. And he's like, I'm sitting behind him, you know, those two horses. I know how fast we're going. He said, I'm just sitting. No, I got a ton of horses. I got this filly anytime I want her. And he said, then I saw John start moving his hands around the turn. He's like, oh, now I really got him if he's moving now, you know. And so if he just sits on her, I think we're still good. I mean, if he could have sat to the eighth pole, you know. She was just in a high cruising speed. And then he asked her to open up, and she made, you know, about 3.5 furlong run. I think that's where she gets caught. That's kind of the if we're running for 3.5 furlongs, I think we're might be in trouble. If she's running for a quarter mile, I think we're good. So that's where I think that sweet spot is. And then we come to the, you know, he didn't realize how fast he's going. He went 22 and change, 45 and change, I think, in the honeybee. And she just got a little tired, and Chocolate Kisses came and got her. And then we went into the fantasy with Mike Smith. I mean, the phone rang before we even took the tack offer on the honeybee. I had three agents call me before the tack came offer on that race. They're all watching the race. Two from New York and one from California. And Mike Puich is real good friends with Brad Pegram from Mike Smith. And he called up and said, Brad, you got to ride this horse. Mike's got to ride this horse. And so right away, John's like, Mike's like, I'm on. He said, we'll ride her. And so then when we ran her in the fantasy, you know, we didn't go fast fractions, but they're a little quicker than you'd like. And then Brill at the same spot, about 3.5, Brill started coming on us and trying to ride too, because she was trying to, she thought if she hooked us in, I think that was her race to win. And I think we got that tomorrow, that 3.5 furlongs, about the same type of, you know, start where they ran. And then they went head and head. I really think the way it looked to me is Mike knew he had Brill. Because if you watch him ride, and all he does is a couple taps on the shoulder, and I got Brill, and he ends up beating Brill by a length. But I think when Ricardo went inside, I think that's kind of what got us. And if he stays down with her and Brill kind of packs us on the rail, I think Ricardo goes outside, I think we still might win that race, you know. And so I still have never wavered in my confidence, and I think she can go a mile and an eighth. I mean, I think she's just getting better and better. And I think just the two circumstances on the race has kind of, you know, caught her, just asking her a little bit much to do for too long. So I think if she relaxes, I think we'll be in good shape.
Tom, you know, looking at the pace scenario of the Oaks this year, the Oaks field and the Derby field, completely contrasting. Derby, you're hard-pressed to figure out who's going to make the lead. They all look like they're kind of stalker closers. The Oaks field looks like there's three or four fillies that are dead set wanting to go to the lead. Motion to Motion, certainly one of the ones who's shown a lot of speed. You're also going to have Jaywalk, who's obviously very talented. And then toward the outside, Saragandy Empress, maybe one or two others. So where are you, all things being perfect, what kind of trip are you hoping for Friday with Motion to Motion?
Perfect scenario, I'd love to see Saragandy Empress have to go because of her post position. I don't think they want to get caught wide, so I think she's almost got it. She's, you know, it's either the one hole or the outside. You got to kind of make your move early and figure out where you're going to be. I think if she doesn't do that, she's going to get caught wide. So if she hustles to the lead and then one of the Jaywalks or somebody kind of hook her and we sit right in behind him, I think that's perfect. If they don't do that and we go to the front, I'm fine with that too. The one thing I think you get in trouble is if you're one of the front and they just keep on pushing from the beginning, you know. And the funny thing about these races, and you guys have all been around and watched this too, when you get these races where there's an abundance of speed, the next thing you know is just one horse out there by themselves just going slow and everybody's trying to take them back and watch everybody else and they don't go after it, and that other horse goes and just keeps on going. So, you know, whether that's us or whether that's a Saragandy Empress or a Bellafina or a Jaywalk, and you know, it's really, I think the first quarter mile is really going to determine this race, and more so than the last quarter mile, you know, or the last eighth. I think most of these fillies, distance is okay. I think what happens in that first quarter mile, first three eighths, is really going to dictate what happens at the finish.
Talking with trainer Tom Van Berg here on the Derby Countdown, presented by Hillendale Farm. Of course, the trainer of number 8, Motion Emotion, in Friday's Grade 1 Kentucky Oaks. Post time 6:12 Eastern. Our coverage here on the network begins 4 o'clock Eastern on Friday. All that coverage presented by our friends at TwinSpires.com. Tom, we've talked before. I referenced your hat, your cap, when you came on the show here this morning. But we've talked before about your dad's legacy and JVB Legacy Racing, the name of your stable now. This is something that you take obviously very seriously. It's an awesome responsibility for you, and you know that. Talk a little bit about that and kind of moving his legacy forward.
You know, it's kind of an odd deal for me. It's more not necessarily the legacy in the racing. It's more of a, son want to make their dad proud. So that's where my motivation comes from. Whether it happens on the track or not, you know, I'm going to do the things that I've been taught. We're going to do in there every morning. I've been taught to work hard. I've been taught to check legs. I've been taught, how to train. And to me, to carry on the legacy, that's my part. The horses will take care of themselves. Clients will come. That'll all take care of itself if I do the things that just like he did. And so the only difference I think now is there's a little bit more social media involved and you got to kind of advertise yourself a little bit more. And he never was that, but he was always a great, with lines or quotes or interviews. And he was brilliant at that part, but it wasn't the pictures and the contacts with the clients and texting and, all that stuff wasn't his suit, but he was just such a brilliant horseman and such a larger than life character. Kind of that all took its care of itself, where I'm not that same way. So I could have to do a little bit more of the other side of it. And so I think the rest will be fine. I'm not, even like I said, with the Oaks is, it'll maybe hit me, especially if we win, I'm sure it will. When I think about the Derby and I probably never saw my dad shed a tear in my life until he won that, I get choked up just thinking about it. But if that were to come to pass, I win the Oaks, I think I'd probably be in the same situation going, come on, get yourself together. Yeah. But right now, I mean, she's just one of those horses. And you guys have been on a team, like if you have a LeBron or whoever, that no matter where you are, you think, we got this. And that's the way she feels to me all the time. Every day she says, don't worry about this. I got you. And so, I'm not worried about that. If she's good enough, she'll be tough.
Your voice is so much like your father's. And you came by here the other day. You were talking, and I looked up. I go, oh, look who it is.
Yeah, I got his voice, and I got his lack of hair.
Do you hear that voice in your head sometimes?
I hear it all the time. Yeah. I hear it all the time, yeah. And people ask me about that, was it hard to take over the stable? And when we're doing the horses, checking legs or dealing with Sammy or talking to the riders or watching them train, that doesn't bother me because I'm so focused on the horses. It's when, especially when you're at Oakland, you're going up and down the road. That was the time Dad and I always talked, is when either one of us is on the road. You pick up the phone and start going over horses and talking. And then so when I get in that truck and got an 8.5-hour drive down to Arkansas, how many times I pick up the phone, I need to call Dad. And I'm like, that's when it hits me. When I'm in the barn or on the track, it's all business. It's all focus, and it sits in the back of my mind. But when I get time to think, that's when you get emotional and you miss him.
Yeah, well, there's no doubt. Class act, Tom Van Berg. He's always been first class ever since I've known you, and I know you're making your dad proud. And you don't have to win the Kentucky Oaks to do that, but I hope you do.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, guys. Yeah. Always.
Good luck. Go get it done.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Tom Van Berg here on the Derby Countdown Show. We're going to get to another break. We will come back and wrap this one up for you. You are listening to the Derby Countdown on HRRN, your home for the Kentucky Oaks, Kentucky Derby, and Triple Crown.
Army Mule, unbeaten and unchallenged. A grade one winner of his first three starts by a combined 22 lengths, including a brilliant 6.5-length victory in the grade one Carter Handicap, while earning a 1.14 buyer speed figure, the highest buyer up to a mile in 2018.
And finishing fast, Army Mule, ultra impressive in the Cartery Flew Home.
Army Mule, standing at Hillendale Farm.
Florida breds consistently compete on racing's biggest stage. Homebred Win 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 looks to join Needles, Carryback, Foolish Pleasure, Affirmed, Unbridled, and Silver Charm as Florida bred winners of the Kentucky Derby for Charlotte Weber's Live Oak Stud. And Florida bred champion Cookie Dough carries the hopes of the Sunshine State and the Kentucky Oaks for owner, breeder, Arendale. Breed and race for more money in Florida. Learn more at ftboa.com.
Spendthrift Farm introduces its newest breeding program for 2019, the Safe Bet Program. Breed to a fourth-year stallion and watch his first crop of two-year-olds have measurable success on the racetrack in 2019, or you won't owe the stud fee when your foal is born. To learn more about the Safe Bet Program, visit spendthriftfarm.com/safebet or call the farm today. That's spendthriftfarm.com/safebet. Spendthrift, the breeder's farm.
For a commercial farm like us in Frankfurt Park, you have to get value for money. Uvetsi won a grade three in California.
Big performance by Uvetsi.
And then we bred Take Charge Paula.
Take Charge Paula with the win.
When we can get some of these Windsor dollars, as far as we're concerned, it's the same as real money because we're just putting it back in again there for the coming year. Over the next couple of years, I think it's going to become even more important.
This is Steve Asmussen. You're listening to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
You're listening to the Derby Countdown on the Horse Racing Radio Network, presented by Hillendale Farm.
Welcome back to Churchill Downs in Louisville. Mike Penna, Jude Feld, Bobby Newman, getting ready to wrap up the first of three Derby Countdown shows presented by Hillendale Farm. We're back tomorrow, 8 a.m. Eastern, 8 to 10, with another show, more interviews on schedule for tomorrow. I believe Bernie Sams is supposed to stop by here tomorrow
Bernie
as well.
Bernie Sams.
Yeah.
Leading breeder in Barbados, Bernie Sams.
That'll be fun. We'll have more trainers coming by tomorrow as well, possibly some owners, some jockeys. We'll have a full schedule for you tomorrow and Thursday morning before we get ready for all that coverage coming up with the Kentucky Oaks and all the Derby Day coverage as well. You can go to horseracingradio.net to see a complete broadcast schedule, listing of affiliates, and SiriusXM channel information. And don't forget to follow us on social media at HRRN on Twitter and search for Horse Racing Radio Network on Instagram, on YouTube, and on Facebook. The Instagram and YouTube, brand new accounts that we're bringing your way to help you stay connected to everything happening Derby Week and throughout the year here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Oh, yeah, you can never get enough video coverage of the Baron and the Pontiff.
No, well, highly debatable.
That's what I was told this morning. I'm just repeating what I heard.
Going to be a gorgeous day today, too. Temperatures getting up into the mid-80s. Going to be the same case tomorrow. Again, there is some rain forecast for Thursday, possibly carrying over into Friday, and then about a 40% chance of showers coming through late on Saturday. And let's hope that doesn't affect the running of the Kentucky Derby, but so be it. You got to compete on the track that they give you.
And they do a better job at this racetrack than basically any other racetrack in the country at getting the racetrack back toward fast condition. They're just unbelievable. Year after year, it seems like there's a threat of some horrible weather here, and unless it's like that year when Gopher Gin won, more often than not, they get this track back and ready to go, even if they just have a little bit of dry patch in there.
Yeah. Yeah,
they do a good job. Maybe not as good as Charlestown.
That was incredible.
That was incredible.
Yeah, it rained continuously overnight and rained hard and even into the morning a little bit, and they had that track fast by the time they ran the Charlestown Classic.
And it was legit fast. It wasn't like, you know, we're going to call the track fast. It was legit fast. It was the most amazing job I've ever seen anybody do. Even the track officials thought, oh, it might be good by the big race, but, you know, that's the best it's going to be. And it was legit fast, like with three or four races ahead of time.
Yeah. They're going to draw post positions for the Kentucky Derby later this morning, just over an hour from right now, about 11:15, I believe, is when that draw is set to begin, somewhere between 11 and 11:15 Eastern. Winningest post position in the history of the Kentucky Derby, post number 5. So maybe that's the one that you want. Post 10's also been pretty good. 9 winners coming from there. 10 have come from post position number 5. Not the case for post 1 and 2, Bobby. You pointed that out to me yesterday.
No, the last winner from post 1 was Ferdinand in 1986. The last winner from post 2, Affirmed, 1978. So basically, you needed to either be a triple crown caliber runner or a horse that was good enough to beat the next year's Derby winner, Ali Sheba, in the Breeders' Cup to win from post 1 and 2. Now, that being said, you don't know who's drawing those positions. They're not, you know, they're not always the top level runners in the Derby, but there's been enough of a sample in that last 30 or 40 years to say that, you know, the 1 and the 2 have not been the best places to be.
The only post never to produce a Kentucky Derby winner.
What number is it? 17.
Your lucky number.
That's the one I want. That's the one I'd pick.
Yep, no horse has ever won from post 17. It's the only post position that's never produced a winner.
Do you say you would pick that because it would add to your legacy if you were able to train the only Derby winner capable of winning from post 17, that immediately would get you into the Hall of Fame ballot the next year?
Whether I got in the Hall of Fame or not would be, he's wearing the Leperoux jacket. It wouldn't make a difference, but I just think it would be cool to be the only trainer to ever win from the 17.
It'd be on your headstone one day. Only trainer to win from post 17.
In the bottom of the Caribbean somewhere.
Let me throw this trivia question out to you guys. I know there's listeners tuning in that will be able to get this probably right off the bat, but I don't think it's that easy of a question. This is the 10-year anniversary of Mind That Bird's 50-1 upset here at Churchill in the Derby back in 2009. 8 winners have come from that post position that he broke from. Do you remember which post position it was that Mind That Bird came from?
I have no idea.
Bobby?
I do know.
Yeah, because you looked at my notes.
Absolutely.
I saw you peeking.
Listen, preparation is everything, right?
Yep. Post number 8.
Failure to prepare is preparing to fail.
Post number 8, Mind That Bird.
More axioms here on the Horse Racing Radio Network.
Bill Belichick, your favorite coach.
Yeah, I'll tell you the other posts that have been no bargain in recent history either. Post number 9, Reaver Ridge, the last to win from that one, 1972. Post 11, Winning Colors in 88. Post 12, you have to go back to 71 and Canonero the second. Not very good bargains there either.
If that's your lucky number, you've been waiting a long time to cash again in the Derby.
All right, we want to say thank you to all of our guests for being with us this morning, including Mark Cassie, Brett Calhoun, Ann Hardy from Horse Country, and Tom Van Berg. If you missed any portion of the show, go back to our website, horseracingradio.net, and check out the podcast. Bobby, you're taking the reins tomorrow. You and Jude will handle the show tomorrow and Thursday. Looking forward to that, 8 a.m. Eastern.
Going to be a lot of fun and a lot more looking at the horses in the morning, seeing them on the track. Of course, we're going to have post positions by tomorrow, and it should be a lot more fun.
It's going to be great.
It's Derby time.
Looking forward to it.
For our producer, Sean C., for Lee Delapina and our Jimmy Johns of Lexington Studios, for my beautiful wife, Michelle, helping out Chanel Cacho, for Jude Fell, for Bobby Newman, I'm Mike Penna. Thanks for listening.